Welcome to the Pet Loss Companion. I'm Ken Dolan Del Vecchio. I'm here with my friend and co-author, Nancy Sexton Lopez. This is a program that we deliver live on Facebook and YouTube once a week, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Eastern time till about 7:30. I mean, about 6:30. I'm sorry. I'm thinking about my pet loss group. And it is a way of expanding the reach of our book, The Pet Loss Companion, Healing Advice from Family Therapists who lead Pet Loss Groups. And when I say expanding the reach, it actually provides a way for us to dialogue with people who have had the experience of losing a pet and are on their grief and healing process. And so a lot of what we do, and we're doing it this evening, is we read the stories that people have sent to us, and then we share some thoughts on them. And you can send us a story in the following ways. You can reach me at kenddv@gmail.com. You can reach Nancy at nsextonlopez@csmpc.com. That's nsextonlopez@csmpc.com. All of the information I'm sharing up front is in the description that accompanies either the live broadcast or the replay on YouTube or Facebook or on one of the podcast outlets. You can support us in a number of ways, one of which is to subscribe to our Substack, where we post letters and also our responses and all the wonderful pictures that people send to us. And the link to get to the Substack post is included in the description. You can support us through Venmo, PayPal, a monthly subscription on Spotify. We'd like you to know that this program is a friend of Dakin Humane Society in Springfield. Dakin does a whole bunch of wonderful things to help with the human-animal bond, in addition to being a shelter and adoption center. And one of the things they do is they sponsor a cost-free Zoom pet loss support group that I facilitate once a month on the second Tuesday of the month. The next time will be on June 11th. We just had the meeting a couple of days ago for May. And it's entirely free for you to participate. I do recommend that if you want to do so, that you RSVP soon, because we put a cap on the attendance because it tends to run fairly high in terms of the number of people who will be present. And again, you can Zoom in from anywhere in the world. Mm-hmm. I like to mention that because we've had people come from different parts of the world. And then they've asked, is it really okay for me to be here? And it certainly is. And it actually enriches the discussion because it brings a lot of different kinds of perspectives.
Like, you had 22 people last week.
22 last time. We've got up to like 35. We cap it at 50 with the understanding that maybe about half will actually be able to come. And if you do RSVP and then you can't come, it would be great if you sent me an email and just let me know that you can open that slot for somebody else. But we cap it at 50 with the understanding that life is complicated. Grief is complicated.
Yes. Grief is very
hard to keep on track. So we expect that maybe half or maybe a few more will come. And this is kind of working out for us. Please consider subscribing on YouTube. We thank all of those of you who have. We've gone well over 1,000 subscribers now. And that's just really helpful because it alerts others when they're looking for this kind of support with the loss of a pet. It brings the program higher on the list of resources within YouTube that are presented to people who are looking for it. So it changes the algorithm in a way that helps the visibility of the program. So if you find the program helpful, please consider subscribing on YouTube. And then we also would like you to know that we have a partnership, an affiliate relationship with a company called Bereave. Bereave makes these really nice, solid, well-crafted memorial plaques, as you see in the image here. They have an image of your lost animal companion along with the text that you would like to remember them with. And it makes a nice memento that you can put in either a memorial garden or a gravesite or inside at a place where you keep other mementos. And I think that Nancy is holding the example that they gave us. And we wanted to make sure we got an example because we didn't want to be in a partnership with them unless we felt good about what they were offering. And we really do.
Really, really substantial, beautiful piece.
Yeah. And if you purchase one of these, there's a little bit of a kickback that comes back to us. So it's also a way to support our program. So Nancy, do you want to get a
story? Yes. We have two stories tonight. One is Jill and Remy. And the other is Jerry, but I'm going to read Jerry's first. I will say that these things happen, but it's pretty, pretty difficult to hear. Mm-hmm. And it's a little shorter. So, but this is Jerry's story. I am sobbing uncontrollably right now. I'm sorry if this email does not make sense. I'm shaking and have no idea how I will get through this. Am I cursed? Who goes through this much loss in 5 months? A few months ago, we adopted two kittens. They helped ease the pain when I lost my beloved kitty. I am always, always, always on high alert with the kittens around doors so they don't get out. And I'm always telling everyone to be careful with the kittens. I tell my husband to be careful when doing laundry because cats can jump in without you knowing it. 2 days ago, I was doing laundry, and I'm always so careful when I do laundry. I always sit on a little step stool so I can watch everything going from the washer to the dryer. They sit side by side. I sat on the stool and moved the wet clothes to the dryer. I got up once to grab dryer sheets. I just stood up and got them because they sit on top of the washer. Threw them in the dryer and turned it on. I had a lot of clothes in there, so when I heard the thumping, I didn't think anything of it. I heard the thumping from downstairs and thought it was weird, but didn't go check. I was busy with my daughter, taking her to the park and such. She ran home from the park with her friend and ran inside the house ahead of us. I asked her if she closed the door because the kittens could get out. She said she did. The next morning, I noticed one of our kittens didn't wake me up. I can't even say her name because I was so horrified by what happened. She normally jumps all around me and gets very excited to run downstairs with the other kitten for breakfast. I always say, breakfast, girls, breakfast. And they run downstairs and wait for their wet can of food. One kitten did not show up, and I thought that was weird. I had to get my daughter to school. My daughter says, where is my kitten? I looked all around and said, I don't know. I asked her if she really shut the door when she ran to the house with her friend, and she said she did. I started to freak out and said, oh my God, she probably got out. We have coyotes where we live, so I started to think the worst. I raised my voice to my daughter, saying, I hope you close the door and please listen next time, thinking she probably left the door open. Our sweet kitten never showed up, so I started to ask neighbors and even make a flyer. I posted them around and nothing. I prayed she would show up and went to work. I work from home. I was working, and in the middle of a meeting, it hit me. The fucking dryer. No. I paused the meeting and ran. I opened the dryer and I saw her there. And I screamed and yelled and fell to the floor. I called my husband screaming, just screaming. I cannot handle it anymore. My poor sweet kitten, I'm horrified. If one thing in life I was ever sure about is my love for animals, especially kittens, I have no idea how I will live with myself. My husband came home and took her body to be cremated. It has been helping me try to cope, but I can't. I reached out to my therapist, and she has seen me today. I can't breathe. I can't eat. I can't sleep. I can't mother much. I have to go on for my daughter, but how? I'm so ashamed and embarrassed for thinking it was my daughter's fault when it was mine. I'm riddled with guilt and despair. God, the universe, whatever is there, please stop. Please. I can't take it anymore. I'm sharing my story so that it can spread awareness. I looked online, and apparently this happens often. I'm so guilt-ridden. Someone took great care of the kitten in foster, and I killed her in a few months. She was the best kitten, so sweet, and my daughter was in love with her. I killed my daughter's kitten. I feel ashamed, guilty, and like I don't deserve animals. My other kitten doesn't have a buddy now, and I feel horrible for her, my daughter, my husband, and especially for our sweet kitten. This is too much. I can never forgive myself. This is a very difficult, difficult story. I mean, I give her a lot of courage, and brave to be able to share this and wanting to share it, because sometimes these accidents do happen.
We hear about this kind of stuff all the time. We hear about it all the time. In our, even in our group this past Tuesday, there was a dog who, I don't know if the dog had a seizure or had some kind of crisis, but fell into a little fish pond and was found deceased there. And, you know, we've heard stories about dogs that are left for just a few minutes on a leash and they jump over the edge of the couch and hang themselves.
Or get into food and eat too much, or get into the closet and get with a bag over their head. You know, get into something that has a bag.
I have told the story about my son's kitten who got into the ceiling, and we had no idea that a previous owner had put rat poison in there. Came out, was dreadfully ill, took to the vet. The vet said that he had been poisoned in some way, and he was killed.
We want to thank Jerry. We're so incredibly sorry. It's such a traumatic thing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it happens.
It happens, and it's a good thing to just talk it through with your family about it, because it's
Sounds like she's getting support there, but I know it's going to be that guilt. Is outrageous, right? I mean, and I hope she's the best pet, right? But sometimes these things happen.
These things are so unpredictable. We do the best we can. In a split second, something like this can happen. And the other thing that strikes me about our note is our lives are complicated. There's a lot going on. You have a small child. You're trying to make sure that you're taking care of her. And you know, doing your work. It's just a very, so we can't just brutalize ourselves or making an oversight that these kinds of things happen with some regularity. They do. I mean, all kinds of stories are coming back to me. I have a dear friend who had a kitten in her bed, fell asleep, rolled over on it.
Yeah.
Kitten suffocated.
Oh, then we had one with the bird, right? It wasn't this wonderful lady
recently
let us know that.
Not sure. I mean, she wasn't sure.
She wasn't sure, but the bird was behind
a physiological event. But this kind of stuff happens, and it adds a layer of distress and guilt. But the solution is to just do what we always do, which is to realize we're not omniscient.
We're not perfect.
We can't be all seeing. We do the best we can. Mm-hmm. And you just keep trying to do that. You keep putting one foot in front of the other and doing the best you can, taking care of yourself. Good thing that Jerry is seeing a therapist and getting some support. And we wish her the best.
Yes, we do.
And we have a couple of comments. Let's see. Mozzie's mom, I'm just so sorry. I can't even imagine. I hope for healing for you and your family.
Thank you,
as we do. And Jill, who says, oh, Jerry, I'm so very, very sorry to hear about your tragic loss. Sending big hugs to you.
Thanks, Jill.
So we'll go on to the next story. Let me get up the pictures here. Okay. So this is Jill, who just commented. Mm-hmm. And she writes about Remy. Let me just show some pictures first. So this is Remy. Beautiful cat.
It
looks like Russian blue to me.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
Beautiful cat. I love the animal pictures with her mouth.
Sweetie.
With her toy.
Yep, sweetie.
Beautiful cat.
Yeah, she is a boy. She's a boy. He's a boy. He's beautiful.
Oh, it's a boy. That's right. I'm sorry.
He's beautiful.
We're very gender fluid here. Anyway. Dear Nancy and Ken, thank you for everything you do for pet parents like myself who've lost their beloved babies. Your podcast is crucial for many of us as we try to navigate the impossible process of grief. It's a gift, and I know I speak for many people when I express how grateful I am. Here's my story. I lost the love of my life, my soulmate, my best friend, my baby boy, Remy, in October. I have been utterly broken since then. My friend, who has been listening to your podcast for years, suggested I might have something called complicated grief. I know she is right, and that was before we lost my 18-year-old girl, Bella, a month ago. Now I'm a mom whose children have all died. I've lost my soulmate and all of my beloved babies. I never wanted human children. I knew that from day one. And thank goodness my husband was on the same page. We have loved and lost 6 babies together, 5 cats and 1 dog. He handles grief much differently than I do. I am consumed, a mother who isn't a mother anymore. What does that even make me? Mother's Day is coming soon, and I can't bear to face it. Although we most recently lost my little girl, the grief has been consuming me. That has been consuming me is from the loss of my Remy. Well, all of his friends and loved ones called him Munchie.
Munchie.
Okay. Our love story is one for the ages. So let me start at the beginning. The story of how Remy and I found each other actually starts with my first soulmate, my dog, Rambo. When I was 11 years old, my parents decided to breed the family poodle, Tiffany. She had 3 beige girls with black noses and a stark white boy with a pink nose. He was the cutest thing I'd ever seen. From the moment Rambo opened his eyes, he followed me everywhere from ages 11 to age 28. He was my best friend, my soulmate, my guide. He was there for all the big decisions and events in my life. Everyone knew how in love with my Rambo I was. So naturally, when he passed away at 16 years and 10 months old, people were very concerned about me. That was in 2003. But it wasn't that long before people were asking me when I would get another dog. People thought it was crazy that someone like me didn't have a dog. I am defined by my love for animals. It's the very core of who I am. But I wasn't ready. We had Sebastian, a kitty we rescued from my parents' backyard, and we decided we wanted to adopt another cat. We've rescued lots of kitties throughout the years. Sebastian passed away in 2009. Then finally, in 2010, 7 years after Rambo died, I suddenly felt ready for another dog. We had 2 cats at the time, Oliver, who passed in 2021, and Bella, who just passed away. Just a quick sidebar, we had Bella since the day she was born. We rescued her pregnant mom from a parking lot and had the joy of helping raise 7 kittens. We kept 2 and adopted the rest out. Poor Squeakers passed away at 4 months old, and now I can't believe she's gone, but I digress. So it's 2010, and I finally felt ready to adopt a dog. I went on Pet Finder, a website of adoptable animals, to look around. When I first got on, I could see the site was having some issues processing my info. It wouldn't accept my zip code. As I was waiting for the site to pull up info on local adoptable dogs, this tiny little gray kitten face kept popping up on the upper right of my screen. It said his name was Remy. It did not mention what state he was in. Every time I refreshed the screen, his little face popped up. I remember commenting to my husband how adorable Remy was, but that we were looking for a dog, not a cat. I couldn't search for dogs that night, so I logged off the computer. The next day, I was at PetSmart buying food for my cats, and as always, I went to the back of the store where they have adoptable kittens to blow them all kisses. When I got back there, I saw a tiny, fluffy, gray face and thought, no way, that's the same kitten that kept popping up on my screen. Out of curiosity, I knocked on the adoption room door and asked, is that kitten named Remy? They asked how I knew, and I said I saw his picture on Pet Finder. They said that was likely impossible because they were trying to load his picture last night, but Pet Finder was having problems, and they couldn't get it on there. They asked if I wanted to meet him, and I said, sure. I picked up his little body, and he gently put his little paws on my face. I instantly fell in love. The ladies in the adoption room saw our instant bond and asked me if I wanted to fill out an adoption form. I said I shouldn't because we had recently lost Sebastian, and I knew my husband would not feel comfortable adopting another cat yet. But I did, just in case. I was in love. When they saw I lived on Remington Drive at the time, they said it was fate because Remy is short for Remington. I said, if it's fate, it's because I saw this baby online, which they said was impossible, and happened to run into him the next day. I went home and told my husband about Remy, and as expected, he said he wasn't ready for another cat. I was sad and said, okay, I understood, but I couldn't stop thinking about Remy all night, and the next morning, I begged my husband to come to the adoption room with me to meet Remy. After a few tears, he finally agreed. Remy did the same thing and put his paws on Jeff's face and then playfully went to nip at Jeff's hand. I said, You're a little munchman, aren't you? I don't even know what that means. Jeff smiled and said, he's cool. And I knew Remy had won him over. We went through the adoption process and he was ours, or more precisely, we were his. That was almost 14 years ago. Everybody says it was fate. I think it was Rambo sending him to me, a soulmate kitty. Oh, and the funny thing is, I got my dog after all. Remy acted like a puppy, snuggling and kissing and playing fetch. He was my munchie. In mid-2015, my perfect playful kitten, who was 5 years old at the time, was losing weight, not eating well, although he's always been very finicky and was throwing up often. I took him to the vet several times and his blood work kept coming back perfect. I had no idea how to help him and was very concerned. By November, he was so skinny and eating only treats and a high-calorie booster gel we finger-fed him. I begged the doctor for help. In December of 2015, his vet decided to do an x-ray on Remy's belly and saw a thickening of his stomach lining. This led to an ultrasound, which confirmed the thickening. I was told that it was either IBD, which I think is irritable bowel
disease,
or lymphoma, but that I should bring him in right away for a surgical consult. The next day, we saw the surgeon who did an ultrasound-guided biopsy and found a lesion, a mass, and took samples of the mass, stomach lining, and surrounding lymph nodes. Results did not provide a specific diagnosis. However, there was no evidence of lymphoma. Our surgeon was still concerned that it was some form of cancer and that Remy needed surgery right away to survive, as the mass was blocking his digestive tract. On December 19th, 2015, a golf ball-sized lesion located in his pylorus, the area where the stomach connects to the small intestine, was removed, along with 15% of his stomach, some small intestine, and two lymph nodes. Delayed by the holidays, the biopsy results finally came back 2 weeks later and indicated a very aggressive form of mast cell cancer, which I was advised was very unusual in the GI tract of cats. The surgeon did not feel optimistic about Remy's prognosis and advised that we see an oncologist right away. The next day, Remy met with the oncologist, who recommended we start chemotherapy and prednisone. He started both that day. The prognosis was not good. I was absolutely terrified, and Remy just wasn't acting like himself. We asked for a second opinion on Remy's biopsy, since it was an unusual diagnosis. The second opinion from the old lab came back as feline gastrointestinal eosinophilic sclerosing, FGESF for short. I know it's a mouthful. The oncologist had never heard of FGESF and sent me some studies she found on it, but there were very few and most conducted on cats that had already passed away. There was barely any information out there and none of at all regarding long-term prognosis. All I was told was that it was a very controversial disease with a poor survival rate. After the second diagnosis was made, the pathologist that originally diagnosed the mast cell tumor, MCT, adamantly disagreed. As a result, every single pathologist in the lab had a meeting to determine an official diagnosis. And after both pathologists presented their cases, a consensus could not be reached. I was so scared. My baby either had a very aggressive form of cancer or a disease that no one knew anything about. Naturally, I insisted on a third opinion. I said, no more messing around. We're sending the sample to the University of Pennsylvania, which is a very well-regarded veterinary institution. After a few weeks, we finally heard back from Penn, and the official diagnosis was FGESF. Based on this diagnosis, we decided not to move forward with the chemotherapy, but to continue with the prednisone. According to the few studies on FGESF that existed, prednisone and antibiotics were the recommended treatment. The oncologist was doing research on FGESF and reaching out to many colleagues, but there was just so little information out there. From that day forward, I reached out to every author of any existing FGESF studies, feline veterinary specialists, feline veterinary organizations and foundations, vet schools and teaching hospitals, surgeons, gastrointestinal specialists, and anybody I could find. No one knew the cause of the disease, the progression of it, or how to treat it long term, as there was no documentation of cats living long term with it. There was virtually no research behind it, and no vets in the United States had heard of it. Then I heard back from one incredibly lovely vet in Australia who had published the most recent FGESF study. Over the years, he has been an invaluable resource of veterinary advice and strength for us. I then created a Facebook group for FGESF so that no one would ever feel as alone and terrified as I did when first hearing of this extremely rare diagnosis. Together, this vet and I have worked to spread awareness about FGESF and provide guidance and support to pet parents and veterinary professionals on six continents. Over the years, Remy has personally helped save hundreds of cats and has been featured in many studies and presentations all over the world. This is his legacy, and I'm proud to announce that a new scientific study based on findings from members of our Facebook group has recently been published, and more are in progress. I know it doesn't seem like it, but I'm leaving so many details out because this was only the beginning of my Munchie's journey and all of the diseases he would face. I know this is naive, but when your baby has a literal one in a million disease, you just don't expect another serious illness to come along and then another and another. But it's important to say that during this time, 2016 through mid-2019, Remy thrived on the low-dose prednisone and was a perfect chubby kitty. I cherished every single ounce of him. In 2019, he would be hospitalized for dual renal pelvic dilation. Essentially, both kidneys were blocked, and they recommended an invasive surgery as medical management only worked about 10% of the time. Something inside of me just knew that surgery wasn't the right thing for him. Miraculously, he recovered with medical management, although he did now have chronic kidney disease, CKD. While we managed his CKD for many years, he picked up a few other conditions, most notably IBD, pancreatitis, and a functional flow heart murmur. But overall, he seemed okay. Then in 2022, Remy was diagnosed with two very rare, very aggressive cancers, colonic and pancreatic adenocarcinomas, that we were advised would not respond to chemotherapy. He had surgery in September 2022 and had been managing well on chemo. His prognosis was still grim, 3 to 6 months at most with chemo, they said. In January of 2023, a new mass was identified in his left ureter. Eventually, this mass led to the death of his left kidney, but he still was somehow thriving, my miracle kitty. He did, however, start to have significant side effects from the chemo, so we planned to stop in early summer to preserve his quality of life and his remaining kidney. But we never had the chance to do that. His colon cancer came back with a vengeance. On October 17th, 2023, Remy passed away in my arms, a miracle from the day he was born, abandoned with his umbilical cord still attached and found at 1 to 2 days old in a backyard, nursed back to health by a good Samaritan, and then fate would bring us together. Through years and years of more illnesses than any one perfect, innocent creature should ever withstand, he was a survivor, a remarkable, magnificent being with a larger-than-life personality. His beautiful, bright eyes, his gloriously soft fur, his precious, expressive face, that magical, healing purr, it's all gone, and I can barely stand it. Through all the diseases, he somehow managed even thrive for some time. I told him I would never give up on him, ever, that I would never stop fighting for him unless he asked me to. I begged him for a sign, any sign. He had good days and bad days, but his eyes were so vibrant and full of love. But that evil colon cancer persisted, and eventually the pain was too much for him to endure. It spread through his perfect little body. And over the course of a week, no matter what we tried, it took a huge toll on him. It's like he suddenly aged 100 years in just 1 week. There was no denying it anymore. No more pain meds were working. He was starting to really refuse syringe feeding and pills. He looked tired. The sweet little love of my life, my soulmate kitty, my best friend, needed me to make the hardest decision ever. Every fiber of my being was screaming, my spirit crushed, as I laid down on our special place, the love seat, and his little body rested on my chest. We looked into each other's eyes, and they gave him the first shot. I felt like I was dying, but I smiled and talked to him and looked into his gorgeous eyes. When we were face to face, nose to nose, actually, and I could feel his breaths leave his nose and go directly into mine. And when the vet gave him that final shot, I could feel his last breath as it breathed into me. Then my baby was gone. He's been gone for 6 months, and there are still days that I'm paralyzed by grief. I was always the one guiding other people through this journey. It felt like I knew it all after losing Rambo and my beautiful kitty children. I always told people that grief is such an individual experience. Don't let anyone try to dictate how you grieve. It's your personal journey. Be kind to yourself, and one day the tears will turn to smiles, and you won't even realize when it's happened. Allow yourself all the time you need. It's funny how we don't afford ourselves the same kindnesses we afford others, isn't it? Thank goodness my husband has been an amazing support, but there's only so much he can do. Perhaps it's the obsessive compulsive disorder, OCD, and acute anxiety I was diagnosed with over 30 years ago that doesn't let my brain rest. I suppose that exacerbates the unrelenting guilt, intrusive thoughts, self-recrimination, the doubt, the what-ifs, the overwhelming need for answers and proof. But the profound sadness, the unbearable heartbreak, the devastating emptiness, the ocean of tears, that is the cost of losing someone that you love more than words can say. It's the greatest love of all, pure and simple and devastating. It's agony that comes from the greatest joy. Although I'm crushed, I owe it to my baby boy to continue his legacy. The outpouring of appreciation for Remy's inspiration and the group's collective efforts is something that I'm beyond proud of. It is his legacy, and I owe it to him to preserve and expand it. That will be my focus. I'm currently working with veterinary professionals to build a website, and I welcome anyone who would like more information on FGESF to visit our Facebook group. People should know that there is another option when they hear IBD, lymphoma, or cancer. And she has the web address, which I'll read, but it's also on the Substack if you want to reference that. But here it is. It's https://www.facebook.com/groups/FGESF support. Thank you to my perfect baby boy, my soulmate, my best friend, my little love, my angel. I promise to do my best to make you proud until the day we can be together again. I love you more than anything in the world, my beautiful baby boy, my munchie. And thank you again, Nancy and Ken, for taking the time to read this long email. It's my hope that you will share it on your podcast, as I believe some points might be helpful to others. And of course, I appreciate you honoring my sweet baby boy. Warm regards, Jill.
Jill.
Thanks, Jill, so much.
You are still having him as this beacon, right, in his legacy. That you did all that work on his behalf, right? To then create the information that so many people now have that unfortunately you didn't in the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I commented to Jill is that she's a mother figure to everybody who's struggling with this. Yeah. I mean, that's an amazingly generous and I mean, it's just so much commitment there as well.
Absolutely. And just how much you loved him and everything you went through. That little boy had so many issues, medical.
I know, really. So many physical and problems.
You said you would never give up, and you never did. You never gave up on him.
And as we sometimes hear, she gave him a great death. Yeah. And that's the way to die, in the embrace of the one you love most. Yeah. I mean, we all have to die. That's a good way to do it, you know, the best.
Mm-hmm. To have him so close. Jill, you've done so much, and I know how much you miss him. But you live with him every day as you do your work.
Yeah, absolutely. That is a very, very powerful legacy. Mm-hmm. So we want to thank Jill, we want to thank Jerry. There are a couple comments. Jill is commenting. Thank you. So thank you for your kind words. I appreciate it. And Prudence is saying, thank you for sharing the stories of your beloved animals. The pets leave us, but our love goes on.
Yes.
It's so hard. Take care of yourselves. Your animals loved you so much. Just as you did them. Absolutely. Thanks for those wise words, Prudence.
And also the suffering, right, Ken? I mean, we help them not suffer, but then we suffer. And that's the hard part.
Yeah, I think that's Angela who
we Yeah, Angela with. Came up with that one.
We know that she tells her clients that we have to end their suffering and begin our own. Our own becomes even worse if we've been in our anticipatory grief.
Of course. Thank you both.
And thank you, Nancy, as always. And we'll look forward to having another conversation next week.
Take care, everyone. And thank you for the comments.